Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery for Malka Bat Simcha, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Chazdai, Pesach Vansir, Harav Mir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we begin our program with our many questions from our great JTFers, I want to speak about the shooting that took place at a black church in Charleston, South Carolina, in which a white with Nazi views, a white guy with Nazi views, went in and killed 9 blacks in the church. First of all, let me just say that it's amazing that hundreds of thousands of blacks have been killed in this country since the 1960s. Literally, hundreds of thousands have been killed, have been slaughtered by fellow blacks. 93% of blacks who have been killed in this country have been killed by fellow blacks. That's never an issue. That never causes a national uproar. But if a white guy kills 9 blacks, the whole country goes absolutely crazy. And in my view, that's a completely upside-down view of the world. Because the correct way to look at things is that when a black person kills his own brothers and sisters, that to me is far more serious than if someone from another race kills blacks. Of course, we know from history that people of different races often hate each other, and people who come from different ethnic groups often hate each other and kill each other. We know that. We know that's part of human nature. It's not a good part of human nature, but it's part of human nature. But when you have blacks slaughtering hundreds of thousands of other blacks, when the number one cause of death among young black males is homicide for decades now in this country, then you have to say to yourself, something is very wrong about this culture. And I mention this because we've been inundated with this propaganda from the news media. And when I say the news media, it's not just the left-wing news media, it's also the phony right media. It's also Fox and the phony right media. The news media keeps giving us this propaganda that the blacks in that church are so noble, they're such noble people, they forgive the shooter. Oh, please, spare us. Spare us this lying propaganda. The blacks in that church supported Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March. They support Farrakhan, who said that Hitler was a great man. Judaism is a gutter religion. All whites are devils. The whole white race is going to be exterminated. They went to Farrakhan's marches. They support Barack Hussein Obama, who is working for genocide against the Jewish people, working to destroy the Jews in Israel, and working to destroy America as well. They forgive. What a phony act that is. Martin Luther King also put on that phony act in the 1960s during the so-called civil rights movement. He forgives white people. He forgives the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, this was a little act that they put on to make themselves appear noble. As if, by the way, I don't think there's anything noble. If someone really does do something very evil to you, for you to forgive them and act as if it wasn't evil, I don't think there's anything noble about that. And that is not the Jewish view. Judaism does not forgive evil behavior and say, we turn the other cheek and we don't care. That's not the Jewish view. But in any event, they want to interpret Christianity this way, with their left-wing interpretation of Christianity. Okay, but it's completely phony. Completely phony. These are the most hateful, racist, anti-Semitic, evil people. And, you know, I was listening to white commentators talk about what a wonderful community the blacks have in this country. How wonderful, wonderful community. Over 80% of their children are illegitimate, are born out of wedlock. They abandon their own babies. Over 80% of their own babies that black men abandon every year. That's a wonderful community. 93% of blacks that are slaughtered on the streets of America every year are slaughtered by their fellow blacks. That's a wonderful community. The vast majority of rapists in America are black men. And most of the women they rape are black women. That's a wonderful community. 97% vote for this vicious black racist and anti-Semite Barack Hussein Obama. He got 97% of the black vote. That's a wonderful community. He got 93%, and Al Sharpton got 93% of the black vote when he ran for mayor of New York City. Al Sharpton, the open racist and anti-Semite. That's a wonderful community. The other racist and anti-Semite, Jesse Jackson, got 94% of the black vote when he ran for president of the United States. Wonderful community. The only man who could inspire a million blacks to come to a mass rally was Louis Farrakhan. He was so popular and so beloved. And all the black leaders and all the members of the Congressional Black Caucus and the NAACP and all the black churches, including this church in Charleston, they all sent busloads of people to Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March. Louis Farrakhan, an outright Nazi who says, I like when the Jews compare Farrakhan to Hitler. Hitler was a great man. Hitler was a very great man. That's Louis Farrakhan. And that's a wonderful community, and a community that is forgiving and filled with love. Are you kidding me? And they talk about the wonderful influence of black churches. Wonderful influence? They've had a good influence on blacks? What influence have they had? Look at their ministers like Louis Farrakhan. Not Louis Farrakhan, but Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. They're both Baptist ministers, black Baptist ministers. They have a good influence on black people? And they support Farrakhan, the Muslim hater of all non-Muslims and the Muslim hater of all whites. Wonderful influence. Wonderful community. They're so forgiving. And what I'm telling you now is something that no one will tell you and no one dares to say, which is why JTF is so unique and so important. No one dares to say this. But Jews and righteous Gentiles should not be fooled by this endless stream of propaganda, because that's what it is. It's propaganda and it's lies. Now, of course, there are righteous blacks like Pastor Manning, and there are exceptions in every community. In every people, in every community, there are exceptions. There are chassidei umot ha'olam, which means the righteous among the nations. Because everyone has free will, so you're going to have a certain number of people who out of free will are going to choose the righteous path. That happens among every people in every community. But among blacks, it just so happens that the vast majority are not righteous, are not part of that at all. Not at all. And if there's one people that should know that, it's the Jews. The same Jews that continue to support these black anti-Semites. Because no one did more for blacks than Jews. You never had such a sick situation where one people, the Jews, did so much for another people, the blacks, whom they owed nothing. They owed nothing to black people. And they did everything to advance them and promote them, things they never did for their fellow Jews, things they never did for their brothers and sisters, even during the Holocaust when 6 million Jews were being murdered, they did for blacks. They went down south, Jews went down south, and Schwerner and Goodman, two Jewish kids, were killed in Mississippi trying to register black voters, trying to fight for the rights of blacks. They gave their lives for blacks. Other Jews, thousands of Jews, were part of the Freedom Riders, went down south to try to integrate lunch counters, restrooms, public transportation facilities, bus lines. Do you know what happened to a lot of these Jews? You know that a lot of them were arrested and beaten and brutally attacked and attacked by dogs. And they were willing to do this for people who were jealous of them and hated them. Instead of being grateful, they were jealous of them and hated the Jews, were never grateful for anything the Jews did, and stabbed the Jews in the back the minute they had a chance to. and have been stabbing him in the back ever since. Aside from all the Jews that have been murdered over the years by black murderers, and all the Jews who've been victimized over the years by black violent crime. Most victims of black violent crime are other blacks, but not all. A lot of white people and a lot of Jews have been victimized by black violent crime, along with every other ethnic group in America. Anyone who lives in America knows that the number one reason we have crime, the main reason we have so much crime, is because of black crime. You take black crime out of the equation, America would actually be a very safe country, relatively speaking. So, let's understand here that all of this is a lie. Everything that we're getting about how blacks are so forgiving, what a wonderful community. Look how they've been victimized by white terrorists and white terrorism. White terrorists and white terrorism. Isn't it black terrorism when they murder hundreds of thousands of their fellow blacks, when they terrorize every major city with violent crime? Isn't that black terrorism? Anyway, this is the propaganda that we've been given, and this is why America is probably lost. There may still be a chance, if someone like Ted Cruz gets elected president, there may still be a chance to save America, but if that doesn't happen, I really don't see how America is going to be saved from self-destruction. This is the path to self-destruction. All of this insanity, this is self-destruction. We're going to continue to tell the truth, even when it's politically incorrect, and whatever the consequences are, because we have an obligation to stand up for the truth. That's what JTF is all about. We're going to tell the truth in America, we're going to tell the truth in Israel. And so we ask you to do the following things to help JTF, because I think you and JTF, no, you are great JTFers. You understand how important our message is, how essential it is that we work as a team to promote JTF and promote our message, so that we could wake the people up in Israel, in America, and in the Western world in general. Because we have a message for the Jews, we have a message for the righteous Gentiles. And it's important that everyone hear that message. We ask you to do the following things to help us. Number one, prayer. We need your prayers so that we succeed, so that JTF can get its message across to the whole world. Help us by praying to God. Prayers are very important. Second, when you see us put up English and Hebrew videos, we put up a Hebrew video, of course, last night, an important video about a 25-year-old Jew being murdered by an Arab terrorist. When you see us put up Hebrew and English videos, help us promote those videos on Facebook, YouTube, everywhere possible. That's the second thing. So the first is prayer. Second is help us with our videos. Third, the great JTF.org news site that Shlomo has worked on, this great news site. Help us promote this news site. Help by commenting on the news site. Visit the news site. You can visit it several times a day. There's constant updates, great news, great information on that site. At least once a day you should visit the news site, and you should comment on the articles. It helps us. It boosts us in the search engines when there's more activity on the site. And if you speak Hebrew, and that's the English site. The English site is jtf.org. And if you speak Hebrew, our Hebrew site, hayamin.org, is also an excellent site. Help us promote that site as well. That's the third thing. So the first three things are, we need your prayers, we need you to help us with Hebrew and English videos to promote them, and we need to promote our news sites, jtf.org and hayamin.org. The fourth and final thing, we need your financial support. Our big downfall is that we don't have the financial support necessary to reach millions of people on a regular basis. That's our big downfall. And so, obviously, the more support we get, the more people we can reach. Obviously, the stronger we get, the better it is for the Jewish people, the better it is for Israel and for America. Obviously. And so, we need your generous help, and God bless the great JTFers who do generously help us on a regular basis, who send us checks and money orders and cash donations to our post office box on a regular basis. God bless you. We need that support. And in addition to that, there are people who feel that it's easier and more convenient to do it online with their credit card, which is just as good. There's no difference whatsoever for us. If you want to do it with your credit card, you just go to the donate button on the Hebrew main page, hayamin.org. On top, there's a donate button in English. It's probably the, I think it's the only English word on the Hebrew main page. It's on top. It's on the top. You click on the donate button, and in several minutes, you can conveniently donate to us with your credit card. We need your help. We need to work together as a team to make a difference, because we tell the truth that other people are not willing to tell, and that is very important. Okay, let's get to our questions from our great JTFers now, and let's start out with Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, one, in Wells Fargo ad, lesbian couple adopts hearing-impaired girl, unquote. Absolutely, I'm glad you're mentioning this. It's a disgusting ad, a disgraceful ad, where they promote two mommies and lesbianism and adopting some poor girl who is deaf. Franklin Graham and other evangelical Christians are boycotting Wells Fargo now because of that ad. We should support that boycott. Wells Fargo should be boycotted. And companies that promote the sodomite agenda should be boycotted. So we agree with the Franklin Graham and other Christians that are boycotting Wells Fargo. When homosexual couples adopt children, that is child abuse. That is child abuse. To raise a child in a home where this type of disgusting perversion is taking place and to teach them that this disgusting perversion is the norm, that this is normal behavior, and to encourage them, in effect, to engage in this type of behavior, that is child abuse. That's a disgrace to do that to little impressionable children who don't know any better. And so Wells Fargo should be boycotted. Smash Islam now writes, too, why was Yugoslavia anti-Israel? They rejected Warsaw Pact and leaned toward West, unquote. Well, they actually, they did reject the Warsaw Pact because Marshal Tito, who was the dictator of Yugoslavia, the communist dictator of Yugoslavia, didn't want the Soviets dictating to him and ordering him around, but he was still a communist dictator. And he really didn't lean toward the West. He turned to the West sometimes in order to discourage the Soviets from trying to invade Yugoslavia. But he, together with other leaders, he formed the what he called the non-aligned countries, the third world countries and the non-aligned countries, even though Yugoslavia is not a third world country. Yugoslavia is a European country. But he was part of what he called the non-aligned countries. Of course, Yugoslavia is going to be anti-Israel. It was a communist dictatorship. And Marshal Tito was a Croatian. The Croats were Nazis. The Croats murdered 90,000 Jews during the Holocaust. They were Nazis. Marshal Tito happened to be a Croat communist, but the Croats are very anti-Semitic. So, of course, they were going to be anti-Israel. And again, not only was Marshal Tito the dictator of Yugoslavia a Croat, but Yugoslavia, again, was a communist dictatorship. So the fact that they're anti-Israel isn't surprising. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to Wandering Samurai, who writes, and I quote, Dechaim, please explain why cancers of the lung, liver, and stomach have low survival rates, unquote. Yes, tragically, that's true. And there are a number of reasons. One, because it's hard to do surgery. You know, one of the things you want to do when you have a cancerous tumor is you want to be able to do surgery and remove the entire tumor. If you can't remove the entire tumor, if any of the cancer remains, of course, that greatly increases the chances of the cancer becoming lethal, growing and becoming lethal and spreading, metastasizing and spreading. Lo aleinu means it shouldn't be upon us. We shouldn't know from this terrible, terrible disease, cancer. And it's hard to do surgery on lung, liver, and the stomach. It's hard to do surgery on those organs, because what are you going to do? Let's say the cancer is spread all over the lung. Of course, you can remove one of the lungs. What are you going to do though with the liver and the stomach? It's just difficult. It's a very difficult cancer to operate on. So because it's difficult to operate on, and because it's difficult to remove the entire tumor with surgery, that's one of the reasons why this is a cancer that is very, very hard to treat. Also, another means of treating cancer, of course, is radiation and chemotherapy. But the radiation on these vital organs can do damage to the vital organs, because, you know, radiation sometimes also damages the healthy cells, and that's one of the terrible side effects of radiation. There have been tremendous improvements in radiation over the years, but still it can do damage to the healthy cells. And so when you do damage to healthy cells and organs as vital as the lungs or the liver or the stomach, that of course can be a serious problem. And sometimes because of these reasons, because it's difficult to do surgery, because radiation sometimes is less effective and more difficult in these vital organs. And even chemotherapy targeting cancer in these vital organs sometimes is not as effective. Because of those problems, you not only sometimes have the destruction of these vital organs, but sometimes it also leads to a high rate of metastasis, a high rate of the cancer spreading to other parts of the body, which once that happens, as you know, in the vast majority of cases, it's very, very hard to control, and most people don't survive once cancer metastasizes. Lo aleno, we shouldn't know from it. We shouldn't have such tragic... We should never know from such tragedy. So those are some of the reasons. It's difficult to do surgery, difficult to do radiation, difficult to do chemotherapy on these vital organs. Wandering Samurai now writes, and I quote, "Also, is Phil Collins an anti-Semite?" There are rumors that he was an anti-Semite, that he was anti-Semitic, that at one of the concerts he did something anti-Semitic, but I haven't seen any proof. He denies it, and I haven't seen any proof of that. He claims it's just a false rumor. And in 2005, when some of the British entertainment people were boycotting Israel, and we've had this boycott going for quite a while now against Israel, 10 years ago in 2005, he came to Israel for a concert, and he refused to boycott Israel. So I haven't seen any proof, and I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt, because he did go to Israel to do a concert, and he denies that he's against Israel or against Jews. Wandering Samurai now writes, "I know Ian Stewart was. Thoughts on them, please." Okay, Ian Stewart, is it Ian? I think you pronounce it Iron Stewart. Yeah, he was a Nazi Klan supporter. Yimach Shmo v'zichro. Fortunately, he died in a car crash at the age of 36. I think more than 20 years ago. I think it's over 20 years now that he's dead. Baruch Hashem, thank God. But he was 36 years old, and he actually supported the Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan, and his music was Nazi Klan music. So of course he was an anti-Semite. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. We go now to Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what do you think of the incident of the police officer in Texas pulling his gun while arresting a black girl after a pool party?" Unquote. I think the video that they show doesn't show what happened before. What happened in the beginning? What was happening at that pool party? They were called, the police were called there because there was some violence taking place. There was fighting and violence. And so the police were confronted by a situation where there was a lot of tension, there was violence, there was a mob. So I'm not sure exactly what happened. Of course, sometimes you have hot-headed cops. You do have hot-headed cops sometimes. But, you know, this cop felt like he was under siege. He felt that there was a mob scene there, and he basically wanted just to get to the bottom of what was going on there, of what was happening there. Did he overreact? I don't know. I don't know. I don't think we can judge entirely by what you see on that video. I think the video doesn't show everything that happened before and after. So I don't think we can judge based solely on the video. Thank you, Joe Gutfeld. And we go now to Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, 1. Were the pre-1967 mayors of Jerusalem less evil than the post-1967 mayors? Unquote. Oh, I don't know. I know the post-1967 mayors, Teddy Kollek and Ehud Olmert, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, were very, very evil. Teddy Kollek, of course, murdered a 17-year-old member of the Irgun when Teddy Kollek was in the Haganah. He murdered a 17-year-old kid in the Irgun, tortured him to death because the kid refused to reveal where the other Irgunists were hiding. So he's a murderer of a Jewish kid, a brave Jewish kid, a noble Jewish kid. This vicious pig, Teddy Kollek, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And there's a stadium named after him, and they honor and respect this animal. Like everything else in Israel, all the evil people are honored, and all the righteous people are despised. And Ehud Olmert, of course, is now serving time in prison for his corruption when he was mayor, and he wanted to give the whole country away. He wanted to give Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the whole country away when he was prime minister. So obviously they were very evil traitors. Those are both the post-1967 mayors. The pre-1967 mayors didn't have a chance to do those types of things, but I don't know. I don't know enough to make the comparison. I do know, though, that the post-1967 mayors like Teddy Kollek and Ehud Olmert were extremely evil. And now Binyamin writes, too, who was the worst mayor of Jerusalem, unquote. Well, I would say Teddy Kollek and Ehud Olmert were the two most evil. 3. Discuss Secretary of the Treasury Lloyd M. Benson, unquote. Lloyd Benson was a senator from Texas. Big phony. I mean, this is a guy who lived in Texas, who should have been a conservative. Instead, he ran for vice president with that animal, Michael Dukakis, in 1988. A complete evil left-wing piece of garbage, Michael Dukakis. And Lloyd Benson was his running mate. He became Secretary of the Treasury during the first 2 years of the Clinton administration, when the Clinton administration was pursuing very left-wing policies. The Clinton administration instituted the biggest tax increase in American history at that time, during those first 2 years. Bill Clinton broke his word. He promised in 1992 that he was going to initiate a middle-class tax cut. He promised he was going to cut taxes for the middle class. Instead, he raised taxes for everybody across the board. So Clinton just blatantly broke his word, and his Treasury Secretary helping him do that was Benson. Also, Hillary Clinton was trying to promote and create Hillary Care at the time, which was even worse than Obamacare, a complete government takeover, socialist government takeover of health care. It would have been the end of the health care system in the United States, just a catastrophe for the American people. And Lloyd Benson, as Secretary of the Treasury, was supporting Hillary Care. So I think he was a bad person. And Binyamin now writes, 4, discuss Secretary of the Treasury Robert E. Rubin, unquote. Well, this is a self-hating Jew who is a left-wing Democrat and who supports the anti-Semitic Clintons. He was Treasury Secretary under the Clintons. Just a self-hating Jew. Anyone who supports the Clintons, who did everything they could to get Israel to commit suicide in the 1990s. Bill Clinton devoted the last 2 years of his presidency to trying to get a deal between Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat. And I mean, even before Ehud Barak, when Netanyahu was prime minister in the late 90s, pressuring Netanyahu, pushing for a deal with Arafat, trying to get Israel to go back to the pre-1967 suicide borders. I mean, any Jew that supports the Clintons, knowing the harm that they would do to the Jewish people, has to be sick. And Robert Rubin, he didn't give a damn. He didn't give a damn about Israel, about anything other than, you know, his own career and making money and getting himself ahead. So I think he's an evil person. He is an evil person. 5. Secretary of the Treasury Lawrence H. Summers. He went to the same high school that I went to. Yeah, that's right. He moved to the suburbs of Philadelphia. Summers. And he did go to high school in Pennsylvania. Yes. He's another self-hating Jew. Another left-wing Democrat and another Clinton supporter. Self-hating Jew. Same story. Thank you, Binyamin Yisrael. And we go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, compare Alex Jones and Michael Faggett, unquote. Okay, when Lewinsky Stinks says Michael Faggett, he's referring to Michael Savage, who, by the way, what was his name, that hippie, that disgusting hippie in the early 60s? He used to swim naked with that homosexual hippie. Michael Savage used to do this. There are pictures of him swimming naked with the homo. I forgot. I just have a mental block. I don't remember the name of this homosexual hippie from the 60s. But Michael Savage, actually, there is very strange behavior. He engaged in very strange behavior in the past. But anyway, you know, these are both scam artists. Alex Jones is insane. The conspiracy theories that he promotes are insane. 90% of his guests are insane. He's a scam artist. He's a con artist. And of course, he's an anti-Semite, anti-Israel, anti-America. Just a complete fraud. Michael Savage is a closet leftist. As we mentioned before, he may be in the closet on a number of fronts, but he certainly is a closet leftist. He deliberately undermines Republican candidates for president during the presidential election. He said he was telling his audience of millions of conservatives. Conservatives listen to him because he uses conservative rhetoric. And then he said, he's not going to support John McCain when John McCain was running against Barack Hussein Obama. And he said the reason was because he picked Sarah Palin, and he spent that entire election attacking Sarah Palin and undermining the attempt to stop Obama from getting elected president, undermining the Republican ticket. And the reason was because he was against Sarah Palin. I mean, he wanted Obama to get elected. There's no question about that. And then when Obama ran for re-election, now in 2008, Michael Savage said, but Mitt Romney would be the good Republican candidate. That's one Republican that I could support enthusiastically would be Mitt Romney. That's what he was saying in 2008. And, you know, he thinks he's such a genius. You know what his great analysis was? Mitt Romney has a full head of hair. Only candidates with a full head of hair can get elected. This was Michael Savage's great analysis. Anyway, this filthy self... And he's a, by the way, Michael Savage is a self-hating Jew. His real name is Michael Wiener. Anyway, Michael Wiener said the only candidate that he could enthusiastically support would be Mitt Romney in 2008. So in 2012, when Mitt Romney was the Republican candidate for president, you would think that Michael Savage would have been enthusiastically supporting him. Oh, no. When Romney did get the nomination, he did everything he could to undermine Romney. There are a number of reasons why he supports Obama. I think he's a closet leftist. I think all of his rhetoric is phony and fake. And in addition to that, he wants Obama in the White House because he thinks it's better for his ratings. He thinks when you have someone like Obama in the White House, it gives him good material for his ratings for his radio program. So he's a complete phony, and he does terrible harm to the conservative cause. I mean, if I went through all the times this animal has betrayed conservatives and his attacks on the Torah and Judaism and his mocking of Judaism and his mocking of the Jewish people and his attacks on Israel, his supporting of Hamas and his attacks on Israel during the Lebanon War, he said that Israel was barbaric. I mean, just this guy is scum, just pure scum. He has his style, Alex Jones has his style. I don't think there's much comparison between them except that they're both evil. Lewinsky stinks, writes, and I quote, if the GOP was slightly worse than the Dems in the 40s, when did the tables turn? Unquote. No, I never said the GOP was worse than the Democrats in the 1940s. I mentioned one particular Republican senator, Robert Taft, who was worse. He was worse. But the Republicans nominated for president candidates who would have been better than Roosevelt for the Jewish people. Wendell Willkie, who was the Republican candidate for president in 1940. In fact, going back even till 1932, Herbert Hoover would have been, if Herbert Hoover had been reelected, that would have been better for the Jews and for Israel and to prevent the Holocaust, and would have been better in terms of World War II, getting us ready for World War II to fight Hitler. Herbert Hoover would have been better than Roosevelt in 1932. In the second election where Roosevelt ran, he ran against Alfred Landon. Landon would have been better for America and for the Jews. When I say for Israel, I mean for the creation of a Jewish state and for preventing the Holocaust. Alfred Landon would have been better in 1936 than Roosevelt. And in 1940, Wendell Willkie would have been better than Roosevelt. And in 1944, Thomas Dewey, the governor of New York, who was the Republican candidate against Roosevelt, he would have been better. So all four Republican opponents to Roosevelt were better than Roosevelt, were lesser of the evils than Roosevelt. They were bad too, but they were lesser of the evils compared to FDR. Roosevelt was just a catastrophe in every respect. And again, the Holocaust happened because of him. Robert Taft was a Ron Paul, Rand Paul type Republican. So he was actually even worse than FDR, but he never became the Republican candidate for president, even though he ran for the nomination several times. He did become Republican Senate Majority Leader. And that was terrible. And, you know, he did some terrible things, but he never became the Republican candidate for president. Lewinsky stinks, now writes, discuss Snoop Dogg, unquote. Oh, Snoop Dogg is another degenerate moron whose so-called music is not music and so-called entertainment is not entertainment. Just a degenerate moron from the jungle who is given all of this respect by society, deserves nothing, deserves no respect, just a piece of garbage. By the way, he backed Ron Paul for president. And then when Ron Paul didn't get the nomination, of course, he supported Barack Hussein Obama. So he supported Obama, but before that, he was supporting Ron Paul. Interesting. You have a number of people in the entertainment industry who supported Ron Paul and who now like Rand Paul. Some of the biggest Obama supporters love Rand Paul. I wonder why. Obviously, because Rand Paul and Ron Paul are really leftists. Anyway, so much for Snoop Dogg. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to Mein Koran, who writes, and I quote, do you feel bad for UK Muslim leader Asghar Bukhari, who had his slipper stolen by the Mossad, unquote? Yeah, this is typical. Yeah, he said that his shoe or his slipper was stolen by the Zionists. They came and stole a slipper or a shoe. They broke into his house to steal his slipper or a shoe. And, of course, in the Muslim world, these types of allegations are taken seriously. These are the same Muslim leaders that feel that all non-Muslim infidels should be exterminated. It's, you know, if we had real Jewish organizations like JTF, if JTF were an organization that could reach the whole world with our message, we'd be able to ridicule this. We'd be able to show the world the absurdity of what these Muslims are all about. We'd be able to show the world what we're dealing with. But unfortunately, the wealthy Jews and the powerful Jews have decided to give their support to the self-hating Jewish organizations and not to JTF. I'm hoping that that situation changes, God willing. And if it does, this will be a much better world. Thank you, Mein Koran. We go now to Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, have you heard of Rachel Dolezal? What kind of psychiatric care do you recommend for her, unquote? Well, of course, she's the white woman who pretended she was black and became a leader of the NAACP in Washington State, in Spokane, Washington. I think it was in Spokane. I don't know if she's mentally ill or just an opportunist. because she actually sued a black university for not letting her in because she was white. She actually sued a black university for discriminating against her as a white woman. So I think she realized that being white is a disadvantage, because in America today there's black privilege. If you're black, for 50 years now there's black privilege. There's racist discrimination, institutionalized racism against whites in America for 50 years already. She understood that and she decided to go with the flow. I think that's part of it. She may also be insane. I mean, she, you know, white people that want to be black, and say, she says she identifies as black, but, you know, some of them are nuts also. So I don't think there is any psychiatric cure for these sick people. I really don't. I don't know what to say except that we have to fight against them because they're destroying society. Thank you, Da Vinci. We go now to Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, "A fellow Jew who dislikes Obama said that if he had the chance to see Obama speak at a synagogue, he would go. I wouldn't go for $1 million, unquote. I'm with you, Chicago Jew. I agree. The only reason I would ever go is to heckle him. I would go there to heckle him, but, you know, you got to be prepared to get arrested if you're going to heckle him, or at least be physically thrown out. I used to heckle people quite a bit. Unfortunately, I'd have a hard time getting into one of these events now because the Secret Service, the FBI, they all know me. So I'd have a hard time getting in, but if I could, I would go in and heckle, and, you know, I would start screaming "Jew hater" at him. But if you can't do that, if you can't heckle or you can't do something like that, then I would agree with you. I would absolutely agree with you that you shouldn't go. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And Chicago Jew, you are a person of principle. You are a man of principle, and I think that we really have to admire and respect that. Thank you, Chicago Jew. We go now to Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, "One, talk about Trump's candidacy," unquote. Oh, Donald Trump is such a fake, phony fraud. He supported Hillary Clinton. He supported Bill Clinton. He gave money to Bill and Hillary Clinton. He gave money to left-wing Democrats. He supported the Cuomos. He supported all the left-wing Democrats. He also gave money to Republicans sometimes when it was in his interests. So he's all over the place. He proposed in 2000 giant tax increases. Giant tax increases. He will have a destructive effect because he's a clown and because he makes crazy statements and he spends his time attacking all the Republican candidates. He will have a destructive effect, in my opinion, on the presidential campaign. The sooner he gets out of it, the better. And he will get out of it eventually. He's not going to, one way or another, he's going to withdraw from the race eventually. His candidacy isn't going anywhere. Dr. Dan now writes, too, which song to sing on Har HaBayit when there for the first time amongst the Allah Akbar Arabs, unquote. Okay. Allah Akbar. Actually, it's Allah Akbar. But in English, you say Akbar because Americans have a hard time pronouncing the chet sound that you have in Middle Eastern languages like Hebrew and Arabic. Which song to sing on Har HaBayit? I would pray on Har HaBayit. I think it's better to say to do prayer. If you're going to sing a song, the song should be a song of prayer from Tehillim, from the Psalms. But I think that's a place for prayer, which is what I think we should do on Har HaBayit. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to EB22, who writes, and I quote, "Please discuss the Israeli Black Panthers that came on the scene in the 1970s. Were they similar to Black Panthers in the United States?" Unquote. Well, these are self-hating Sephardic Jews who were communists and who support the Arab Nazi enemies of the Jewish people, traitors to the Jewish people. These are traitors, filthy traitors. They took the name Black Panthers from the Black Panthers in the United States because they admired these anti-Semitic black beasts in America that called themselves the Black Panthers. And just an evil, evil group of filthy traitors who support the enemies of Israel and are just a disgrace. And for Sephardic Jews who lived under the Arab Muslim Nazi rule, who should know what Arab Muslim Nazis are, for them to support the Arab Muslim Nazi enemy, what a disgrace. What vile scum. Just scum of the earth. Thank you, EB22. And we go now to Hiram, who writes, and I quote, "Google labels JTF arguing in support of Israel's right-wing extremist groups and against Islam, also expressing contempt for African Americans. Why?" Unquote. Because Google is run and owned by self-hating Jewish anti-Semites. Google is anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. The owners are Jewish anti-Semites, and the worst anti-Semites are self-hating Jews. And that's true for Google. YouTube is also owned by Google now, also anti-Semitic. Facebook is owned, of course, by an intermarried, self-hating Jewish anti-Semite, Zuckerberg, or whatever the name of that animal is, Yimach Shmo. These Jews, they get such power and influence, and they use it against their own people. So, that's why they have such vile... It's not just their vile treatment of JTF, it's their vile treatment of the Jewish people in Israel in general. The only Jews they like are Jewish traitors, because they're Jewish traitors. Thank you, Hiram. And we go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, "Why, when every day blacks murder 6 blacks in U.S., it's never news, but when a white man does it, it's the story of the decade," unquote. Well, this was my opening, PMN. This was what I wrote, what I spoke about in the opening of this program. I devoted the whole opening to the story of what happened in Charleston, South Carolina. And basically, I said what you're saying now. Yes, it's unbelievable. Literally hundreds of thousands of homicides have taken place in this country since the 1960s. The majority of those homicide victims have been blacks. 93% of the blacks who have been killed by their fellow blacks. Hundreds of thousands of blacks being slaughtered by their fellow blacks is not news. That's nothing. That's fine. But if a white man kills some blacks in a black church, the whole country goes crazy. Unbelievable. It's absurd. PMN now writes, and I quote, "Is Trump still not serious?" Unquote. Trump is never going to be serious. He's a joke. He's a clown. But he does harm to the Republican Party and to the image of the Republicans. He definitely does harm. Because he makes outlandish statements, and unfortunately many Republicans, you know, you have some Republicans who are not very bright who do take him seriously. So, that's a problem. Thank you, PMN. Now we go to Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, "You against the Mexicans? Mexico, out of all countries, allowed Jews in during World War II, while the U.S. and others did not. Who will work for such cheap labor?" Unquote. First of all, Mexico did not allow Jews in. They may be, every country now says they allowed some small group of Jews in who got in through hook by hook or by crook. But Mexico didn't have a policy of saying, okay, all Jews are welcome to come into Mexico now. If they did that, millions of Jews would have gone there. The Jews would have rather go to Mexico than to go to Auschwitz. No country in the world welcomed the Jews in. Really opened their doors to welcome the Jews in. No country in the world did that. And Mexico has a history of anti-Semitism. Most Mexicans don't even know what Jews are. I know because I was in jail with them. Okay, they say, Judío? They didn't know what Judío is. Judío is Jew in Spanish. They didn't even know what a Judío is, even though they go to church every Sunday. And they, you know, and it's just, it's unbelievable, the ignorance. But, of course, even the better educated Mexicans, we saw in 1975 that Mexico voted for the UN resolution declaring that Zionism is a form of racism. In other words, the very existence of Israel and the Jewish people is racism. I mean, you can't get a worse Nazi resolution than that. And that was a Nazi resolution, and Mexico voted in favor of that resolution. So Mexico has not been a friend of the Jewish people. Now, the reason why I'm against Mexicans coming into the United States, or or other third world people is because they'll destroy the United States. They are destroying the United States. Look what they did to California. California was a conservative Republican, voted for conservative Republicans, even though the Democrats outnumbered the Republicans in the state in registration. Nevertheless, they voted conservative Republican. They voted for Ronald Reagan overwhelmingly for governor twice. They voted for Ronald Reagan for president when he ran for president twice overwhelmingly. That same California now votes overwhelmingly left-wing, is overwhelmingly left-wing Democrat now because of the Mexican immigration and because of immigration from other third world countries. The majority of whites in California continue to be conservative. But 60% of California now is non-white. And we see the consequences. And Jews in this country are in a lot of trouble. This invasion of America by third world people is going to make the Jews in this country, is going to put them in grave danger. Because these people that are coming here are jealous of the Jews, hate the Jews and are jealous of the Jews. They're not grateful that Jews helped them, that Jewish leftists helped them. They hate the Jews and are jealous of the Jews, just like the blacks were during the so-called civil rights movement. So if you want left-wing anti-Israel presidents forever, like Obama and Hillary Clinton, if you want them to get elected forever, then open the borders and let these people in, because that's what America will become. And that's what America... It already may be too late. It may be too late. We're going to find out next year in the election, but it may already be too late to stop the disaster that's coming. As far as cheap labor, who's going to work for cheap labor? What did the United States do before you had all of these illegal aliens here? They employed young white teenagers, white kids, who wanted to make some change, wanted some pocket change. I'm using that in a quote, of course, in quotes. But they wanted some money to do the type of jobs that the illegal aliens now do. And so you'd have white teenagers working in the gas stations, white teenagers working in the supermarkets, white teenagers mowing the lawns and doing these other things and working in restaurants, doing the other things that the illegal aliens now do. And it was a very good experience for white teenagers. They learned how to work and have a measure of responsibility in life and deal with the public and earn some money while they're in school. It was a good experience for them. There is not one aspect of this illegal immigration that's good, in my opinion. It's just negative in every respect. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. We go now to Imaknik, who writes, and I quote, "What's your stance on the Confederate flag flying over South Carolina?" If the Confederate flag is a form of free speech and should be flown, should a Nazi flag be able to be flown based on free speech? Unquote. Okay. I believe that the Confederate flag should continue to fly over South Carolina. I believe that the people of the South have a right to honor their heritage, and that there's nothing wrong with flying the Confederate flag over South Carolina, and it should be, and that we should support the right of the people of the South to fly the Confederate flag. The Nazi flag is not the same at all, as you know, Imaknik, and I know that you are aware of this. The Nazi flag is completely different from the Confederate flag, despite the fact that animal Irv Rubin, Irv Rubin, the traitor who took over the JDL when I was in prison and Rabbi Kahana was murdered, Irv Rubin burned the Nazi flag together with the Confederate flag, and he compared the two, thereby offending all of our best friends. The Southern white evangelical Christians are the best friends the Jews have. Now, of course, there are people who wave the Confederate flag who are Nazis. You have people like that. Yimach shmam v'zichram, may their names and memories be obliterated. Those people we hate. But many people who fly the Confederate flag are not at all anti-Semitic and not at all bad people, are in fact evangelical Christians in the South, in the rural South, who strongly support Israel and strongly support the Jewish people and believe in their Bible. And they have a right to fly whatever flag they want. The Nazi flag should... No one has a right to fly the Nazi flag. That is a symbol of the ultimate evil in the world. And for obvious reasons. And no one should be allowed to fly that flag for any under any circumstances. And it's not a matter of free speech. That's abuse of free speech. That should be a hate crime, flying a Nazi flag. That should not be allowed. But in the America of today, that is what would be allowed. With it, whereas the Confederate flag would be banned. The same ACLU that fights for the rights of so-called rights of Nazis to march wants to ban the Confederate flag. So, it's also the same ACLU that fights for the rights of Muslims to display their religious garbage on public property. If Jews or Christians want to do that, the ACLU goes crazy and files lawsuits. It's an upside-down world of hypocrisy and double standards, and that's why we have to stand against that and stand for the truth. Thank you, Imaknik. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoy doing. Until next week, Shalom.